Welcome! You are listening to the Otaku Centric here on the Lancer Radio Network, streaming to you live 24/7 at www.lancerradio.org. We are the Otaku Centric, and I am your main host, Nao Senpai, and with me is Max. Today we have a lot to cover. I am excited to bring to you the interview I had the chance to speak to the otaku journalist, Mrs. Lauren Ray Orsini. It is very interesting, so look forward to it. So when we talk about otaku, I don't think many of us will engage the word otaku and journalist. At least not for me. It was quite new and fascinating to know that otaku journalist actually exists. I had the chance to speak with the otaku journalist, Mrs. Lauren Ray Orsini, and we had a quite in-depth interview, so take a listen. Today, I am speaking to the author of the book, Otaku Journalism, A Guide to Geek Reporting in the Digital Age, and an otaku journalist herself, Mrs. Lauren Orsini. Lauren, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we go into the otaku talk, you do quite a lot around the otaku culture. Can you tell our listeners what you do?
Sure. I'm a writer, blogger, and fan. I write about technology and fandom issues for a bunch of different places. I've written for CNN, for Forbes. Right now, I write mostly for ReadWrite and Anime News Network.
With such an amazing career, my first question is, what got you into otaku?
The thing is, I got into otaku culture long before I began to identify as an otaku. I started watching anime and playing JRPGs and stuff like that when I was 12 years old. The thing that first interested me in Japanese pop culture was just how foreign it was. When I was 12, I felt like I didn't really fit in with the rest of my peers or like my sisters or my friends or even like when I turned on the TV and watched American shows, it didn't feel like they were for me. I mean, obviously, when I turned on the TV and watched anime, that wasn't anything like my life either, but it just felt so comfortable to immerse myself in something that was completely different to me.
When you got into journalism, when did you first realize that, hey, I could do otaku journalism? When did the idea click?
I guess pretty late. When I was in college, whenever I could, I would write about anime and manga and interview fans for my journalism class, but I thought it was just something I'd do on the side. So when I was in graduate school, getting my master's degree in journalism, my professor told everyone, it's really important for each of you to buy a domain name and start a blog. So at first I called my blog just laurenrayorsini.com. And yet, I kept writing about anime and manga on this blog, so I wanted to come up with a title that reflected my subject matter. So I settled on Otaku Journalist after very little consideration. I admit I didn't really consider all the implications of the word otaku, which I know some people think is still an offensive word. I don't think it is. But I didn't really think about how it would affect people. And a lot of people told me that I would regret this because I was thinking too narrowly. It's like, what if you want to write about other stuff? But my blog's going to be 5 years old this November, and I still don't regret it. Over the years, otaku journalism has really come to mean something entirely different to me.
Is it different from regular journalism?
Yeah. Okay. So when I was in graduate school, I was taught that a good journalist is someone who is completely unbiased. Okay. Like one of my professors even said we shouldn't vote in national elections if we wanted to practice truly unbiased journalism. Otaku journalism is me saying that's stupid. Readers know that journalists aren't robots. We have our own opinions, preferences, and bias. Mm-hmm. I think that when we try to hide or cover up those biases, they come out anyway. So otaku journalism is me using those preferences to my advantage. What I think is the very fact that I'm interested in fandom is the reason I make a good fandom reporter, because I take fans seriously. I'm aware of the context behind their struggles and their newsworthy moments, because I've been there even before they were newsworthy. So who better to report on a community than somebody who has been intimately following it for years? And that's what I call otaku journalism.
So how biased can otaku journalism be towards that content? Because they're fans themselves, like a Kill la Kill article that you wrote, I first was thinking this person isn't really understanding the context of Kill la Kill. But as I read along, it was really interesting for me to see how you viewed Kill la Kill shows.
That actually wasn't my article. That was a guest post. But the thing about it's interesting you bring up Kill la Kill, though, because those of us inside anime fandom see that so differently than people outside anime fandom. I mean, okay, they don't wear a lot of clothes. And yes, we really need to think about that from an outsider perspective, too. So when I say you should be biased, I'm not saying you should completely ignore the people in your audience who have no idea what's going on with Kill la Kill. But what I'm saying is that you should use your insider context in order to help explain that to people. So you can talk about how anime has had problems with fan service and then go into the way that Kill la Kill subverts fan service.
Right.
And it's supposed to be a commentary on fan service. But for people who aren't into anime, mm-hmm, they won't get that context. For to them, it'll just look like, wait, why are we showing these naked girls? Well, they're not naked, but you know what I mean.
It's, right, right, yeah.
It could be really uncomfortable without the experience that mm-hmm the fandom gives you to explain why this might be happening. And it helps to be able to see both sides of that and kind of think of yourself as an instructor.
Ah, I see. Moving to how you made your book, how was the process like? Were there some difficulties or was it easy because you actually lived this career?
Yeah, I did live it. They do say to write what you know. I actually wrote this book over the course of 2 years because I was trying to figure out the fastest and easiest way to share my advice with as many people as possible. So at first I called them my otaku journalism guides, and I released each of the chapters as soon as it was ready as a free PDF download. I tried to get one out every couple of months, mm-hmm, but these PDFs were half the length of the chapters in the book. They weren't edited by anyone, just by me, and they didn't have the character stories the book has. So after I put out 6 of these, I realized I should just work as hard as I can to finalize this, make them as good as they could be, put 2 more chapters together, and just kind of combine it all into a book where it'll all be taken more seriously. Mm-hmm. So I added new resources to the chapters, added those stories about the characters. I got an editor and an illustrator. I spent January, February this year just doing edits the whole month. And then I gave the book to my editor for the month of March, and it came out in April.
Wow, it was a lot of work then. Wasn't it difficult to write about those advices, though, because you're obviously giving your rule of thumb to starters that are thinking of going into otaku journalists, and maybe they're your future rivals?
I think that the more otaku journalists there are, the better it is for me. It becomes normal to entrust community reporting to the reporters who know those communities best, mm-hmm, instead of outsiders who are seemingly unbiased. That means I can get more of the kind of work I like doing best, because people like me are who editors are going to want to hire. Also, these communities are huge. There's more than enough room for lots and lots of journalists in them. I mean, we need more than one article about Kill la Kill, for example. Just like when a movie comes out, we get tons of articles about the movie, or when some cultural event happens, like the Oscars or the Emmys, mm-hmm, we have all kinds of journalists writing about that stuff. So I think we could definitely use more journalists in otaku communities.
In your book, you do talk about difference between niche reporting and otaku journalism, but isn't it similar? Otaku is niche in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, the way I separated it in my book is that niche is something you're kind of stuck into. Like, I was at a local paper and I was covering horse shows,
right,
like riders and their horses and who came in first and who came in second. And this was something I knew very well because they kept giving me stories on it. And this was my job to keep up on it. But I mean, I'm not into horses. I've never even ridden a horse. It's not my passion. I mean, I was in the horse show niche, but I was not a horse otaku.
Right.
So I think otaku journalism is when the niche you choose to report about and your passion line up.
So can you be both niche and otaku journalist at the same time?
Yeah, I think you can. And also, I don't think it has to be just about otaku topics. Otaku is a Japanese word. So
right,
sometimes people think that the advice in my book only applies to if you're writing about Japanese pop culture fandoms. But I think you can be an otaku journalist about any passion you have. If you're on the science fiction literature beat, or the horse beat, or the train beat, and you really love that thing, I would think of you as a science fiction otaku journalist, or a train otaku journalist.
So has it changed then, the otaku journalist, from when you started until now?
I guess it's evolved quite a bit, but even though it has evolved a bit, I do think that you can be an otaku journalist about anything, anything that you're very passionate about.
That was the first half of the interview I had with Mrs. Lauren Ray Orsini. By the way, I want to point out that Kill la Kill was a show that boomed throughout the world this year, dealing with clothes. Second half, we have a very interesting topic, in fact, regarding about clothes in some ways. We talked about the sexual content dealt in the otaku field, so keep listening. I think a lot of people started using otaku really casually now, that it's losing its meaning. Do you feel that way as well, or do you have positive feelings about it?
Yeah, I think it's always been pretty positive in Western culture. Sometimes people tell me that it's negative in Japan, and then people are like, oh, these people don't know what they're talking about. So when it came time to put my book out, I was a little nervous at first about putting otaku in the title, but I don't know. I've been the otaku journalist for so long. I didn't want to get rid of the title, especially when it was a title that really spoke to me. Also, I think that here in the West, otaku is a stronger word than geek. Like, it means a really passionate fan. It's just the word that really fit what I'm trying to talk about.
Do you think there's such thing as not otaku enough to become that otaku journalist?
Well, I'm never going to tell someone they're a fake otaku or something. I think you need to think about where that question is coming from if you're worrying about whether you're otaku enough. Like, do you feel like you're not passionate about the reporting beat you've chosen and you'd be better suited to another? Or maybe this reporting beat used to be something you were passionate about and you're not anymore. And maybe you should reconsider what would make you feel more otaku about it again. Journalism is a really difficult field. It doesn't pay well. So you have to be really gung-ho about it if you're going to be in this field.
How about, let's say, Gundam? Gundam has been in the otaku field for a long, long time. And I'm not a Gundam otaku myself. I don't know anything about Gundam whatsoever.
I'm actually a big fan.
Yes, I know. That's why I brought it up. Let's say that I barely got introduced to Gundam. And I feel like, oh, this is so interesting. I'm going to start reporting on it. Then in that case, would I be considered, you're not really knowledge yet about Gundam?
Actually, I think you'd be great for it because you've been in otaku culture generally for a long time. You know how fans think. Of course, you're not a Gundam expert, so you would need to find people who are experts. Like, you could interview me, and you could ask me, hey, who are some people in the Gundam community that you should really talk to? And I'd be like, oh, well, this guy makes his own tutorials. He'd be great to speak to. And this person always knows the Gundam news. He runs a blog about it. And you would have these people, these kind of experts in the field who you could keep tabs on, who could tip you off to good stories. And who could weigh in with expert opinions when you're like, oh, I hear there's a new Gundam movie out. What do you think fans should be the most concerned or excited about this new movie? And you could talk to your different experts.
So just,
and you bring the fan perspective simply by being familiar with fandom and sympathetic to fandom.
So just because you're new doesn't mean that you're not good enough.
Yeah, that's what I think. For a while, I was covering bronies, which is fans of My Little Pony, adult fans of My Little Pony. And I wasn't a brony myself, but I knew a lot about fans of other shows, so my editors thought I'd be good at it. So I sat down, I watched all of My Little Pony, and I started Googling My Little Pony, and I started finding people in the community who I could talk to. I found this pony blog, and the blog would be like my tip thing. It would just keep tipping me to interesting stories, and then I would keep going back to these experts. And pretty soon I was an expert on bronies. It didn't take long because I was already like a fan and familiar with how fandoms work. So I was able to catch on faster than somebody who's like, what is all this stuff? Isn't it weird that guys like ponies? I didn't even have to get over that. That wasn't a mental leap for me at all because I've seen weirder things in fandom. And just from being a fan, I have the open mind necessary to understand that community, even though I wasn't in it.
Wow, those things actually happened then. When Anime Expo was held in Los Angeles, people who went to Anime Expo was complaining that Anime Expo has too much perverted ecchi content or hentai content. Do you think that the otaku field is shifting too much towards those sexual contents?
Actually, I think we need to cover sexual content more because I've been reading some crazy stuff in the news. Like, did you just see in Canada, a man was put in jail for watching hentai anime? Apparently, the judge couldn't tell. He thought it might be child porn. He's like, I'm not sure. It's a cartoon. It has a really young face. This is probably child porn. You're going to jail. And this is not the first time this has happened. A man in Canada ordered a manga that had sexual content in it. And he was also arrested on child porn charges, and he had to register as a sex offender.
Wow.
So I think it's really important that we raise awareness. I remember, like, when I was an anime fan, and, well, like, I guess the early 2000s, and I had to tell people, no, anime's not porn. Well, now we need to say, yeah, there is anime porn, but it's not child porn. The cartoons have big eyes and big mouths and small noses, but they're not children. I mean, people are scared of what they don't know. And I know this is embarrassing because we've spent the last 10 years being like, no, we don't watch porn. We watch anime. And yeah, there is some anime porn, but that's not what we watch. And I mean, I personally am not interested in anime porn. But now I need to start talking about anime porn. I think everyone should, because if people think it's just child porn, because, you know, we think of cartoons and stuff for kids and stuff that depicts children, mm-hmm. then we're all going to go to jail eventually.
That's interesting. Actually, Japan was like that too, since, oh, anime is containing a lot of porn, so we have to ban this and ban that.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to talk about this. Just the same way we've made otaku a big word. I remember in the 90s, the late 90s, this man who really liked horror films. He had a lot of scary movies in his house. He killed some people, and they called him the otaku murderer in the Japanese newspapers because he was really passionate about horror films. And he had, like, maybe, like, one or two anime in there, too. So after that, everyone's like, oh my god, otaku's a bad word. Otaku are terrible people. They kill people. If we don't talk about this stuff, people won't know. This is exactly like why we have press, why we have journalists, to raise awareness of things that are important.
When covering those kind of subjects, are there some sensitive areas that we should actually avoid or not going there?
No, I don't think, well, you're exactly talking about bias, aren't you? Like, because I'm a fan, I should want to make my fandom look good. And the thing is, when you're a journalist, you're doing fans a disservice if you do that. If I'm writing about gamers, the whole Gamergate thing where people were harassing women in the game industry and sending them mean comments and stuff, if I had just, like, not talked about that, it would have looked like I approve of what they're doing. Sometimes right. To make our fandoms better, we have to talk about bad behavior and just call it out. If anime fans were harassing women in large numbers, of course I would write about it. I would be like, we're better than this fandom. This is ridiculous. This is horrible what you're doing. I mean, I know that looks like I hate anime fandom, but I'm hoping that people would take me more seriously because they know I'm a fan myself and that this is not acceptable and that fans like me don't approve. If you're a journalist, you need to cover anything newsworthy, whether it's good or bad.
In closing, what advices would you give for future otaku journalists?
Start a blog, like, today. There's never going to be a perfect day to start your blog. My only regret with my blog is I didn't start it sooner. My blog has gotten me every job I've ever had. A blog teaches you so many skills that are so important for journalism. Just start your blog today about whatever you're passionate about.
That was the otaku journalist and the writer of the book Otaku Journalism, A Guide to Geek Reporting in the Digital Age, Mrs. Lauren Ray Orsini. You can find more of her work on her website, Lauren Ray Orsini. That's Lauren Ray, R-A-E, Orsini.com, or on her blog, The Otaku Journalist at www.otakujournalist.com.